For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is May the 29th, and we are in Ruth, in the last parak, on page 1272. Okay, so we talked extensively last time about the sale of the land and marrying of Ruth. So now we're actually going to read that through and see how that happens and talk about a few final points in the marriage of Boaz and Ruth. Uvoaz Allah Hashar v'yeshev Sham. So he came up and he sat there. V'hinei agol over Hashar dibra Boaz. The goal is passing by. V'yomer surush v'po ploni almoni. Come and sit here, ploni almoni. V'yasa v'yeshev, he turned and he sat. What does ploni almoni mean?
Anonymous.
So-and-so, anonymous, right. It's anonymous. This is a funny phrase, funny thing to use, ploni almoni. He knows who he is. He's his uncle. His name is Tov. And the whole time he's either called Tov or the Goel. And all of a sudden here he's called ploni almoni, so-and-so. So why is he called so-and-so? So I once gave a shiur on this. The Goel, is he a bad person?
He could be. What do you mean?
Does he do anything bad?
Tov?
In Rus? Tov, yeah.
No, he doesn't.
Didn't he take good it well, there? Isn't it a mitzvah to marry?
It is. So okay, so he passed up an opportunity, but
he didn't do anything bad.
Yeah.
He just didn't do anything good.
Right. He didn't do anything, right? So his name is Tov, which is good, right? And he's called the Goel, which means he had the potential to be the great-grandfather of David HaMelech if he would have married Ruth. And he didn't do it.
So therefore he's just someone.
He's just no one. Right. He's a nobody.
A guy.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
He lost his place in history.
Hmm.
It's tragic. You think about it. People are listed in Tanakh either because they're great tzaddikim, or unfortunately Rishayim.
He's just
nobody. He had it in his hands. He was first in line. Imagine he was. Can you imagine if you were first in line to be the mother of Mashiach? And then just like, oh no, I'm sorry. Next person in line, I'll pass. You're giving up an unbelievable spot in history, an unbelievable place in Hashem's ultimate plan, and he gave it up. So he's called Ploni Almoni. He's the quintessential so and so.
Whatever.
No name.
Doesn't really matter.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Vayikach Hatzonah Anoshim Mizikne Oyer. So he gathers 10 more men. Vayomer La Goel Kol Kasa Sadeh Asher Elchino Elimelech, a portion of the field that our brother Elimelech had. It's Ploni Almoni's actual brother. That's Elimelech, and for Boaz, it's his uncle. Machra Naomi Hashav Mistei Moav. Now Machra literally means she sold, but Rashi clearly says this means she is about to sell. It doesn't mean she's actually sold. It means she's interested in selling the field. Vani Amarti Egrel is Nachalei Moav. Let you know, Kenei Neged Hayoshim and Neged Zignami. You should purchase it. In Tigal Gol, if you want to do it, fine. Vim Lo Yigal Hagid Ali, tell me. I'll know that no one else is besides you. I'm next in line. He says, I'll do it. The day you do it, then you will also need to acquire Rus, to establish the name of the deceased on his inheritance. You're going to also have to marry Rus. So you're going to have to do it. So Vayom HaGoel, the Goel says, Lo Uchali Goli, I can't do it. Penashkis es Nachalasi, lest I destroy my inheritance. Galacha Atos Nachulasi Kilo Uchali Goli, you do it because I can't do it.
I want to destroy his inheritance.
Okay, so that's the question over here.
Who's the Goel here? It's
Boaz's uncle, Tov.
Okay.
He doesn't want
to. Why did he call Ploni Almoni at the beginning?
That's what I was going to say, that if he lost the term Goel, then why do they...
This was the negotiation of who would be the Goel.
They said, here's the Ploni Almoni, here's what happened.
Right.
And, which caused him to... Okay.
That's right. That's why he's called Ploni Almoni. Now, he's afraid of giving up his nachala, his inheritance. The question is, what's he afraid of? So, let's read a little further, we'll talk about it. V'zos lefanim b'Yisrael, this used to be the way things were done in Israel. Ala ge'ula v'al t'mura, l'kayem kol davar, any kind of transaction. Shalaf ish na'alo v'nasan l'reyayu, a man would take off, what does it say here, his?
Shoe.
Some learn it means a glove. A na'al is a glove. And gave it to his friend. V'zos hatu u'da b'Yisrael, this was the normal practice. This is a kinyan chalipin. This is a type of transaction that takes place. You know, that in any type of transaction, there has to be some method of acquiring something. So if I give you a gift, there's no exchange of money. So typically, the way you acquire it is that you lift it up and it becomes yours. And we make acquisitions. If we want to acquire something, we make acquisitions. In various places, in various halachos, require acquiring something. Like, for instance, in the purchase of a lulav and esrog, you have to own the lulav and esrog for the first day of Sukkot. So it's acquired. Various way, things that are acquired. It's done also at a wedding. At a wedding, at the chatzan's tish. So there's an acquisition that goes on between the chatzan and, you know, and the in order to with the ksuba, in order to make the ksuba a there's a kinyan involved over there. There's an acquisition involved. And none of you have ever sat at a chassan's tish, but over there, what, you
I
have?
Saw my brothers.
You saw your brothers. Okay. So typically, what happens is the Masada Kedushin will like take his yarmulke off. He's wearing a hat, of course. Take his yarmulke off from under his hat, or he'll take out his wallet or his pen, and then some will go like this, and some also go like this. And
Oh, they're doing under the chuppah, my
brothers. Oh, they're doing under the chuppah. Okay, what they're doing is a kinyan chalipin.
I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, no one really knows what they're doing. Very few people know what's going on over there. It's also with Mechiras Chametz they do this, but it's they're making a kinyan. The kinyan they're doing is a kinyan chalipin, and in a kinyan chalipin what happens is when one party makes a kinyan, he lifts something up, that makes it happen. So over here, that's what they're doing over here, that with the, it's a machlokas who made the kinyan, whether it was Boaz or whether it was the Goel, but when it happened, that process made it that now it would be Boaz's right to acquire the land and not the Goel. It was they made this transaction. Okay. Vayomar Goel Levoaz, Knei Lach, do it. Vayish Lov Na'alo, he took off his shoe. Again, could be his glove. If it does mean shoe, which it might mean, then it is meant to conjure up the image of something else in which a shoe is removed, and that is?
Yibum,
or what's it? Chalitza. Right? And again, as we mentioned last time, this is not real Yibum going on over here. It's not real. Yibum is only when it's a brother. This is not a brother. This is a cousin who's marrying. But it has, conceptually, it's like Yibum over here. And the uncle is conceptually giving it up. So there's a conceptual Chalitza for the uncle and a conceptual Yibum for Boaz. Vayomer Boaz by the Canaan because Ha'am. Edim atem hayom, your witnesses, ki kanisi es kol asher levi melech, I've acquired it all, ve'es kol asher lechil lanu machlon miyad nami. V'gam esrus ha-moaviyah eses machlon kanisi li le'isha, l'hakim shem ha-meis ha-nachaloso, we talked about that extensively last time, to establish his name. V'lo yikareis shem ha-meis mi-mechav u-mishar mekomo, his name should be cut off, edim atem hayom, you are witnesses. V'yomru kol ha-am asher b'ashar v'azekenim edim, yitein Hashem es ha-isha ha-ba'a el be'secha, this woman is coming to your house, Hashem should make her Kirachel Uchaleya, Asher Banu Shnemes Beis Yisrael, that they built, both of them, Beis Yisrael, Vasechayel Be'Efrasa, you should prosper in Efras, Ukrashem Beis Lachem, and you should become famous in Beis Lachem. They are saying here that this should be like what Rachel and Leah did for Klal Yisrael. It is not lost on them that here we are dealing with the potential future of Mashiach. They all understand this potential, which makes the uncle Tov's choice very difficult to understand, which we'll talk about in a moment. But they understand that, and they invoke Rachel and Leah, and how they built Klal Yisrael, so also Rus should build something with you, and that's going to be, of course, Malchus based David. Rashi points out, Chazal say, that who are the ones talking over here in Beis Lechem? Who is in Beis Lechem? What Shevet is in Beis Lechem? Yehuda. Yehuda is from Leah. And they put Rachel first. Ki Rachel uchaleah. Even they admit that Rachel is the Ikeras Habayis. Even the Bnei Yehuda understand that Rachel is the Ikeras Habayis. So they refer to her as Ki Rachel uchaleah. Vihi ve'ischa ki ve'isperetz asher yalda samar li Yehuda. Your house should be, this is unbelievable, like the house of Peretz that Tamar had from Yehuda. They bring up Yehuda and Tamar. Remember, we talked about Boaz and Ruth, Yehuda and Tamar, the daughters of Lot and Lot. All they are bringing it up. They recognize we're dealing here with the future of Malchus based David. From the child that you get from this, they call her a na'ara, a young lady. Of course, she was 40 years old, which, not old, but it's not a na'ara, it's not a young lady. But that's what they call her. Vayikach Boaz esrus vatilo li'isha, vayavo eleha vayitin Hashem lo hayrayon vatilet bein. So they marry, and Hashem gives her conception, and she has a boy. The Medrash says, as you know, I mentioned it several times, Boaz only lives that night. The next day, he dies. And that's the end of that marriage. And that's
how
it.
Old was he?
80. He's 80 years old, at least according to one count. I mean, there's different ways of understanding it, but he was 80 years old. And from him, from that one night, comes the grandfather of David HaMelech. Now, before I read further, let us understand what is going on here with the Goel, with giving up this choice. This already is a lamdash piece that is often discussed in the yeshivas. I'll give you the basic breakdown of how it goes. You know that there was a debate over whether Moavi va'afimu Moavis or Moavi v'lo Moavis. We know it says lo yovo Moavi b'kal Hashem. And Moavi is not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. That doesn't mean, by the way, a Moavi cannot become a ger. He can become a ger, but he can't marry into Klal Yisrael after he becomes a ger. Who would he marry? He can marry another Gioris, he can marry a Mamzeres, he can marry one of the Psulim, but he cannot marry a regular Bas Yisrael. That's the limitation on a Moavi. There was a debate whether Moavi means specifically the males, or Moavi v'afimu Moavis, because the Torah typically picks the male form, the masculine form, when it means both men and women. If it picks the feminine form, it only means the women. If it picks the masculine form, it could either mean just the men or it could mean both. So it's unclear from the word whether it means both or whether it means only the men. So this was a debate. The Gemara says this was a great debate throughout the ages, throughout the Bate Dinim. And in the time of Boaz, Boaz paskind Moavi v'lo Moavis, that it is permitted to marry a female Gioras from Moav. The problem is that the halacha is like this, that a Beis Din is allowed to overturn a psak of a previous Beis Din if the future Beis Din is gadol mimeno b'chachma uv'minyan, if it's a greater Beis Din. If it's a greater Beis Din, the Beis Din has more chachma and more talmidim, then that Beis Din can overturn the ruling of a previous Beis Din. Today we would never do that because our generations, we know so much less than the previous generations. So we have no we wouldn't have the guts to do anything, you know, more than previous generations. But in the time of the Nevi'im, it was possible that a later Beis Din was greater than a previous Beis Din. Therefore, Boaz's psak was not necessarily forever. The Brisker Rav says that is what the Goel was worried about. He understood that the psak halacha was Moavi, the low Moavis, and therefore a female Moavi is permitted. But he was afraid that later it would be overturned. Pen ashchises nachalasi. Maybe my future will be destroyed. He wasn't worried about now. He was worried about his future. And based on that fear, he did not want to marry Rus. In fact, his fear was well-founded. Because later in history, there was a Beis Din that overturned this psak. And which Beis Din was that?
Wasn't it Bathsheba?
Before Bathsheba, yeah.
Doeg.
Doeg HaDoeg. Doeg HaDoeg was a Beis Din. And when David HaMelech went out to war with Goliath, and Shaul says, Ben Mizeha Elam, who is this guy? Who is he? He knew who he was. The Chazal said, what was he asking? He was asking, what is his lineage? Because there was a psak that was overturned, and it became Moavi v'afimu Moavis, which means retroactively, David's line was puzzle.
Right.
And it became a problem. So the Gemara says that when he went out to fight Goliath, Shaul told Doeg and Avner to go to the Beis Medrash and figure out whether it's whether he is Roi Lovu Bakahal or not. Because Shaul was worried, if he defeats Goliath, which he did, then maybe he should be the king. Maybe David is going to be the king. But if he's not able to come into Klal Yisrael, if he's a puzzle, then he can't be king. So they went to debate it. So the Doeg said it's Moavi, and including Moavis. They're both prohibited. Avner said no. So so Avner said, the Pasuk says, why are the Moavim not allowed into Klal Yisrael? Because it says, Al Devar Shalo Kidmo Eschem Balechem Uvamayim, Baderech Pazeschem Mitzrayim. Because they didn't bring you food and water when you left, right, and you left Mitzrayim. So Avner said that it's the derech for men to come out with food and water, not the women, so you can't blame the women, so therefore the women are not to be excluded. To which Doeg said back, what should have happened is the men should have come to the men and the women should have come to the women. That's what should have happened. They should have, the women still should have come out, and therefore the women are just as culpable as the men. They didn't bring you lechem amayim, and therefore they should be excluded from calling Israel just like the men. And that was what the Psak Halacha was about to be. They were about to paskin that David was a puzzle because it's Moaviva Afilu Moavis. Doeg's argument won the day.
Weren't they so sure when they were deciding who she's going to marry that she's giving birth to Mashiach? So wasn't that like a passed on thing?
There was definitely that possibility. This would all, if you would say Moavi, Velo Moavis, then you would understand that. We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to it. It's going to be a little more detailed. Okay? Good. Good point. In the end, the Gemara tells us that they were about to paskin until I'm trying to remember if it was Avishai or if it was Amasa. I don't remember who came. I don't remember which if it was Amasa or Avishai. Came and said, I have a Kabbalah from Shmuel HaRamasi. I have a Kabbalah from Shmuel. It's a halacha l'moshe miSinai that the halacha is Moavi, the lo Moavis. And therefore, she is mutter, and Rus was mutter, and therefore David is not apostle. And that's the end of the discussion.
So the halacha from Moshe miSinai, how come?
They didn't know it. Yeah. They got lost. They didn't know it.
So how did he catch it?
He knew. He had a Masorah.
Mm-hmm.
He had a Masorah. Now the Gemara then says, okay, fine. But then what was wrong with Doeg's argument? I mean, Doeg does have a strong argument. Why don't we blame the women for not having come out to bring Lechem Umayim to the women? I understand, I can't come to the men, that wouldn't meet Tzvias, but come to the women. So the Gemara says, gives two answers, it's really the same idea. The Gemara says that even so, the women should not come out. Either because Kol Kvuda Bas Melech Penima, or the Gemara says the pasuk of Ayei Sara Ishtecha Vayomer Hineva Ohel, as she was in the tent. So at the end, the Gemara is saying that even though it's true that Doeg conceded that a woman should not go bring food and drink to the men, but why couldn't she bring to the women? And the Gemara is saying, even so, even going out to the women, but since it's going out, it's still not appropriate. And therefore, you can't blame the Moavi women for not bringing food and drink to the Jewish women. You can't blame them. Because women don't belong going out. They belong at home. And therefore, the fact that he didn't come out with Lechem Amayim can't be held against them, and therefore she is Muteres Lavo Bakal. It comes out that the whole validity of Rus, and ultimately David HaMelech, hinges on Tznius. The whole thing hinges on Tznius. If you paskin that women should go out to women to bring food and drink to women, then David is puzzle and Rus is puzzle. If you paskin that women have to have an extra measure of Tznius, that even what appears to be okay, which is just going out to women, but still it's going out, it's still inappropriate, then Rus is kosher and David is kosher. Malchus face David hinges on Tznius. This goes back to our whole discussion of those funny relationships between Lot and his daughters, and Ruth and Boaz, and Yehuda and Tamar, those relationships which are really questionable about how proper they are, you see Malchus Beis David hinges on the question of Tznius. It's not just another halacha out there or another mitzvah out there. It actually hinges on it. It is not coincidental that in the door that precedes Mashiach, which is the one that we're in our door, which is the one that is literally on the cusp of Mashiach, that Tznius has become perhaps the defining issue. It's certainly the defining issue for Jewish women. There's no question about it. But with feminism and all of that, the whole overturning of the world order of Tznius, in every regard, it is not coincidental that it is at this time. Because Mashiach, for whom we are waiting, comes from a line that hinges on an extra measure of Tznius. Not just for them, but in Psak Halacha. That for everybody, an extra measure of Tznius. The Satan, in order to keep Mashiach from coming, it is not surprising that he would use an attack on Tznius, because that's what Mashiach ben David is based on. It hinges on a proper understanding and application of an extra measure of Tznius for women.
So it also makes sense how Russ was so Tznius in the field.
That's right. That's right. That adds to that. That's correct. That's correct. Okay, now, we mentioned, I believe, before that when Klal Yisrael, at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, when they came to Moab and Ammon, they were told not to attack them or not to destroy them. So the question was, why leave them alive? So why not destroy them? They had attacked them. Why not destroy them? So the Gemara says that Hashem didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to destroy them because of Shtei Predos Tovos, because of two good birds that he wanted to take out of them, Rus HaMoavia and Naama HaAmonis. Rus, who would marry Boaz, and Naama, who would marry Shlomo, who would have Rechavam and continue the line of Malchus Beis David. So that, obviously, that Chazal is dependent on this. If you say Moavi v'lo Moavis, then you can say the reason why Hashem said to leave them alive is because there were two women, one from Ammon, one from Moab, who needed to join Klal Yisrael to form a Malchus Beis David. If you say Moavi v'afilu Moavis, then obviously that can't be true. So it all hinges one on the other, meaning that it was clear to the Gedolim that there was something that good that had to come out of Moab and Ammon. That's clear, because that's why Hashem said to leave them alive. If you say Moavi v'lo Moavis, then it's very likely it's the women. That's what Elimelech reasoned. That's why he went to Moab in the first place, because he reasoned that's going to end the Rav. He reasoned like Boaz, Moavi v'lo Moavis, and therefore why does Hashem leave them alive? Because there's a woman that has to come out of Moab that's going to form Malchus Beis David. And he was right. He was correct. He was wrong in how he went about it, but he was correct in his reasoning. So he followed that same reasoning as Boaz, which is where a lot of the Gedolim felt. The Goel wasn't sure. The Ploni Almoni wasn't sure. He wasn't sure if that was true, or if really it's Moavi, the Filu Moavis, and the women really can't join. Why? Because they don't have to have the extra measure of Tznius. Remember, it all goes back to that. They don't need to have the extra measure of Tznius, and therefore they should have come out, and therefore they're blamed, and therefore they don't join Klal Yisrael. Maybe that's the way it goes. In which case, why did Hashem leave alive Moab and Ammon? For something else, but not for that. Not because the women had to join, because the women can't join either. So it all goes together. It's a domino effect in how the whole thing shakes out. In the end, of course, we say Moavi v'lo Moavis. Therefore, the women are not blamed. Therefore, the reason why Hashem left alive Moab and Ammon, it becomes clear, is because of the women, and therefore it was permitted for Rus to marry Boaz, and it ultimately have David HaMelech. Which means, as I said, that the extra measure of Tznius is what is really what is being said over here, Kol Kfuyu Basnelech Panima, or Hineva Ohel, that Sari Menu was in the tent to show this extra measure of Tznius. Yeah.
Didn't Boaz just make this ruling about didn't the basin just make this ruling about Moab?
It was discussed. What do you want to ask? Go ahead.
I just remember hearing somewhere that this was just their reason, and then that's why some people thought maybe he had done something wrong, because it looked like he made this you know, he made the psak and then he married her and then he died. So, like, obviously he did something wrong.
Yes, yeah. It certainly looked like he did a bad thing because he died the next day. And you could look at it two ways. Hashem kept him alive long enough to marry her, or he did not marry her, so Hashem killed him. Right? You can read it both ways. You got to be very careful when you start reading signs. Because very often they can be read two ways. You got to be very careful about that. So, right. You can't paskin a halacha when it's relevant to you right now. But it had been paskined already. I don't know exactly when it was paskined, but that's what Boaz paskined, and therefore he ended up marrying. So now, we still have another important piece at the end here of Rus. So, they have a boy. So, Pasuk Yerdalad, Vatomar Anashim El Naomi, Baruch Hashem, Asher Lo Hishpis Lach Goel Hayom. He didn't hold back from you a goel today. V'Yikarei Shemo B'Yisrael, his name should be called in Yisrael, meaning he should be well known. This boy should be well known. So, all of a sudden, the goel was originally Tov. Then the goel became Boaz. Now, the women are referring to a goel, and who are they talking about? May his name be famous in Klal Yisrael. V'haya lach l'meshiv nefesh. He should be for you a life restorer, it says over here. U'lechal kelet sevasech, and sustain your old age. Ki chalasech asher ahevasech yiladatu. Because he was born to the daughter-in-law who loved you. Asher he tovalach mishiv avadim, she's better to you than seven sons. Who? Who was born to Rus? The Goel. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
Right? Hashem, he shpitzach goel hayom. He didn't withhold a goel from you today. What do you mean? The goel is dead. That was Boaz. So now the goel is no longer Boaz. The goel is Oved. Boaz and Rus's son is now the goel. And the women are saying to Naomi, Hashem has not held back from you a goel today. So why? Because this is the line of Malchus Beis David. And the ultimate Goel, Uval Letzion Goel. The ultimate Goel is Mashiach. He's the Goel. David is the Goel. The name Goel, the title Goel, goes, it could have been Tob's. He gave it up. So Boaz got it. When Boaz died, it goes to Oved, which will then go to Yishai, and then to David, and onward, all the way down to Mashiach ben David. He's the ultimate Goel. What's that?
How
do
the women know?
How do they know that? I don't know. You mean how do they know that it was a good thing, not a bad thing?
No, how do they know that it was until that was gone? I mean, they know all these things hypothetically, might, but you don't know for sure yet.
But then they're giving her a bracha.
Oh.
They're giving her a bracha. Vatikach nami et hayeled vatishisehu vecheka. So she took the son, the child, vatihilo leomenes, and she became for him a nurse, right. Which means she took care of him. She became the one to take care of him. She became his nurse. Which means she helped raise the child. So she took him. It seems like this was a response to what the women said to her. This is Naomi, the broken woman who had lost everything. Now she has what? Does she have a child? No. Does she have a grandchild? No. This is her daughter-in-law's child.
From a different marriage.
It's like her step-grandson. It's her cousin's son.
Not really related. Oh, there.
It's her cousin's son.
But Ruth has kind of been like a daughter. I mean, she came back with her.
Right.
But there's no blood relation in that sense.
There is, though, because it's her cousin.
Sure, only because of cousin, but not a direct line.
Right.
Yes, but look at the next pasuk. Vatikrena lo ha-shechenos shem leimor. The shechenos, the neighbors, said, Yulad Bain Linami. Naomi has had a son. Vatikrena Shemo Oved, they called his name Oved, who Avi Yishai, Avi David. Ultimately, who is the one who produced Oved? It's Naomi.
Because she raised him.
She raised him.
She orchestrated.
And she orchestrated. She's the ultimate shadchan. She brought the whole thing about. She engineered the whole thing. Ultimately, Rus, the tremendous chesed of Rus, joins with the tremendous chesed of Boaz and the tznius, and it comes together to produce Oved. But that whole cheshbon came about through the ultimate orchestrator, and that's Nami. And Nami becomes Yulad Bein Lenami. When Elimelech went with Nami to Stay Moav, and they went there with the plan of finding Rus, and it went awry because it was the wrong way to do it, even though they were correct in their cheshbon. It wasn't just that Elimelech was roi to be the ancestor of David HaMelech, and that Machlon and Kilion were ru'uyim to be the ancestors of David HaMelech. It wasn't just that. It's that Nami was also ru'uya to be the Ima Shel Malchus. Nami was ru'uya for that. But unfortunately, it was all lost. But she still stays in the game. She's still in the loop. Because when she comes back, even though bloodline, she doesn't have it, but conceptually, Yulad Bein Lenami. It's Nami's son. The Ima Shel Malchus is Rus. She's the Ima Shel Malchus. But Nami is right there with her. It's almost like it's a joint effort of Rus and Nami together being the Ima Shel Malchus. And so therefore it's Yulad Bein Lenami.
How does Nami merit to stay in line like that? Like Mahlon Kilion and
right.
Elimelech are kind of just like,
so that's the question.
They messed up and they died.
Right. So the question over here is it because she was less to blame than the rest of them? As it was, they're the ones who are making the decisions, and she was also there, but she wasn't to blame as much. Or is it that the Hashem saw in her the ability to turn things around? She had the koach to come back a broken woman. I mean, she came back she didn't just lose her husband and kids, she lost all her money. She came back a pauper after having everything. She has to go collect like a chicken and pay. I mean, it's demeaning. And she doesn't lose her dignity. She doesn't lose, not just her dignity, she doesn't lose her faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Her vision,
her emunah, that it's right, it's good. Mashiach is not going to be lost. Yes, it looks very bleak. My husband is dead, my children are dead, Boaz is 60, children are dead. It looks terrible. But Nami does not lose that sight of Mashiach, and she's willing to plan and to orchestrate the birth of Mashiach, even though it doesn't look good. And that's really, when you go back to it, that is ultimately the koach of the Benos Yisrael, of the Nashim Tzidkanios of Mitzrayim. It's the women who are able to look past the bleak, the worst times, and say, we still have to plan for the future. It's not just we have to get past this, we have to survive. It's that we have to make sure that there is what to survive for. And it's the women who have that capacity to say that even though everything looks terrible, we are still planning for the future. We're moving on. And that's what Nami does over here. She really does the same thing as the women in Mitzrayim. That they make sure to have children. Nami can't have children anymore, but she's willing to orchestrate and orchestrate and orchestrate and make it happen. Therefore, it's Yulad Bein Lenami. She still is the orchestrator. Therefore, she is the mother of Malchus just as much as Rus. And then we have the Yichus of David. It says, we have Oved, who Avi Yishai, Avi David. That's just his grandfather, his father, and then David. But then we have, from Peretz until David, 10 generations, and the Navi tells us, Be'elah told us Peretz, Peretz holidus Chetzon, Bechetzon holidus Ram, Beram holidus Aminadav, Aminadav holidus Nachshon, that's Nachshon ben Aminadav, right? The Nachshon holidus Salma, that's Boaz's father, the Salma holidus Boaz, Uvoz holidus Oved, Oved holidus Yishai, the Yishai holidus David, and that is the end of Megillas Rus, which again starts with Vayihi bimei shvot hashoftim. There's no melech. Vayihi bimei shvot hashoftim. There's no melech. How are we going to get a melech? Vayihi rav ba'aretz v'yishai holidus David. That rav, this is the story of how the Ra'av transformed Shvot HaShoftim into Yishai Holid as David. And we've touched on many of the fascinating parts of how that works out. It is just an incredible, incredible story. It's just unbelievable. And there's so much more to it, which of course we can get to. One day, Mirz Hashem, maybe we'll cover that as well. But Baruch Hashem, we've been able to complete it before Shavuos. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.